Hi, this is the third ASI cast in our series looking at what we mean by the terms we use when addressing issues of vital significance to all involved in the media and communications industry. This time, our research director, Richard Marks, discusses with our group of industry experts definitions of the terms we use in relation to advertising. There'll be a fourth podcast to follow this, which will relate specifically to mobile advertising. Here, we look at what we mean by cross-platform reach, by engagement, and by targeting.
Having already tackled the thorny issues of what is digital and what is television, in this third special ASI cast edition, our panel of industry experts and thought leaders will be focusing on three main areas related to our theme of definitions, specifically related to advertising. We're going to be talking about cross-platform reach, engagement, and targeting. So firstly, let's discuss cross-platform reach. As this is a definitions podcast, it's important to get our definitions right. By cross-platform, we mean measuring video across platforms and devices, as opposed to cross-media measurement of video, audio, and text. To measure media across different platforms, well, we need a redefinition of reach criteria. Here's Josh Chasin from Comscore to get the debate started.
As far as cross-platform reach is concerned, the first thought that comes to mind is that we've combined television and print into multi-platform campaign metrics for a long time, and magazine ads or newspaper ads and TV ads are certainly different experiences. One of the things that's happening here in the U.S. is that the MRC is looking into a requirement for duration weighting in GRP calculations across platforms. What they generally mean is not that you should wait by how long the ad is or how long the engagement is, but that you should wait by what percentage of the impression was complete, so that watching 5 seconds of a 5 second ad is a full exposure. Watching 5 seconds of a 15 second ad is a third of an exposure. My perspective is that what we should do as an industry is move away from average minute or commercial minute to average second. So we should get to a point where we can measure, and by the way, now a question arises, is our measurement technology sufficiently granular and robust enough to capture second-specific exposure? But ideally, we'd solve all this by measuring exposure in terms of average second, right? So I don't. So if I'm talking about a 30-second TV commercial versus a 6-second pre-roll, let's say, I will have 6 seconds of exposure for the pre-roll and 30 seconds of exposure, assuming the consumer sat through the whole spot for the TV spot. Time spent is a lovely metric because it applies, advertising ultimately is like physics. It's all about space and time. So time spent is universal.
Alex North of Facebook picks up the theme.
Exposure as a concept and the opportunity for value is consistent across all platforms. The definitions of exposure are probably going to be different. And I think we need to be okay with that. Mm. But we need to be aligned on the fact that they might be different. And so exposure to a TV ad might be different to exposure to an ad on a digital platform, for example. But in the way that a TV ad can still be valuable if you're not watching the screen because you're listening to the audio, a mobile ad might be valuable if you're not actually listening to any audio. Mm. So a lot of the mobile consumption is with people with their headphones on or when they're reading subtitles on something because they're on a train and they don't want the audio to be there. And so... it has value in some form. You need to know how much of that behavior is happening and then what the actual subsequent value is of that exposure. But it all falls within the broader bucket of exposure. A lot of those might not be defined as viewing in the conventional form, but they are the opportunities for value. And I think that's what's consistent across the platforms and what we strive for.
So if we agree that not all reach is the same, how do we make comparisons across platforms? Over to Tim Elkington of the Internet Advertising Bureau.
I think getting that sort of wider agreement even within, within media and then across media is very difficult. So say, for example, You know, we're just not comparing apples with apples. So you're basically into a conversation that sort of says, how many pears equal how many apples? I mean, I think the one thing, it's maybe a parallel that doesn't work, but, you know, we eat all sorts of different foods, but we know what the calorie count is across all of those foods. You know, we know that a burger equals two chocolate bars or something like that. So whether you can say, and I honestly don't know if, you know, how many YouTube ads equal how many TV ads, because it probably depends on so many variables in each case. But again, that's not to say that it's not something that we should stop working towards, because imagine if we did have that, you know, imagine how complicated the advertiser's life is now. Imagine how easier it would be if we came to some sort of understanding.
The one thing the industry does seem to agree on is that measuring exposure, time spent with media, is the bedrock for media planning and trading. However, it's frequently claimed that the currencies need to move beyond that. In a crowded, multitasking media world, they need to provide a definitive measure of attention or even actual engagement. What does engagement mean, and can it realistically be measured in an agreed standard way? Is that achievable or even desirable? Here's Tim from the IAB again.
I suppose in some ways, if you're thinking about reach, you've got a basic figure that no one can really debate. So it's actual reach. How many people did that ad reach? But then I suppose you've also underneath that got a sort of quality of reach, which is maybe a different thing altogether. Because I think we're right to say that all time isn't equal. If I am, and I'm not thinking about particular media at all here, but if I'm sitting in a room where something is passively happening in the background for a minute, does that equal me being really engaged and leaning into something for a minute? Probably not. You have to think that the thing that you're actively engaged with is more valuable than the thing you're sort of passively absorbing. Having said that, other people would argue exactly the opposite way around and say that there is a sort of non-conscious engagement, and, you know, you don't have to be focused on a particular message to absorb it. But it comes back to something that we were talking about earlier on, in that whatever you do, there are going to be winners and losers, and the losers just aren't going to like it, and they're going to say it's not credible. So it's a difficult problem to solve.
Now we have the opportunity to see if program engagement translates into advertising engagement, right? I've always sort of been able to make that argument both ways, right? Like, I'm so highly engaged in the program that the ad comes on and I'm riveted. Or I'm so highly engaged in the program that the ad comes on and now I can unplug for 30 seconds. These are things that we can measure. You know, we can measure these things and start to make informed decisions. And then there also might be, you know, I've seen some research that suggested that the if the feel of the ad matches the feel of the show it resides in, that has one user experience, whereas if the ad is experienced as jarring against the program content, that is another experience that's more likely to push the consumer out of the ad. So I don't know necessarily that engagement is going to turn out to be a binary where yes is good and no is bad. I think we're going to find out that the way that people cognitively experience content will inform the best ways to put advertising in front of them.
Advertising guru Brian Jacobs highlights the different needs of planning and buying.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for as long as I've been around this business, which is sort of almost before these things were invented, I mean, people have always argued about and discussed attention levels and engagement levels, as you said, you know, however one defines those things. And I think, again, we get slightly hung up on these things, because I believe that one of them, we're straying from a sort of buying currency or sort of buying metric into something which is much more to do with, I believe, to be more to do with a sort of planning type piece of data. So I think that, yeah, I mean, attention and the sort of eye on the screen type work that we're going to be discussing in Athens is great, but that can help you decide on all sorts of things about, you know, how you, for example, how you construct the message. You know, indeed, the context within which you place the message. I mean, these are sort of planning type considerations rather than currency type considerations. I think quite often we make the mistake when it comes to JIC type sort of conversations. And we've got an absolutely brilliant measure in Barb, or in, you know, for Barb, read other JICs, of course. We've got a brilliant thing there. It's been proven over time. It's obviously highly reliable and all those things. So just adding more and more and more things to it and sort of trying to bend it into a shape that sort of answers every single question via one study, I think is unwise. So I think that advertisers, I believe, find anything to do with attention, engagement, whatever you want to call it, eyes on the screen, extremely valuable. But I believe that that's more to do with a sort of plan, the planning part of the equation, rather than sort of currency part of the equation.
Julien Rossen-Vallon, a French measurement expert at Médiamétrie, doubts whether a common measure of engagement could be agreed.
For the advertising industry, there are big debates around how to take into account engagement and factor this engagement to demonstrate effectiveness. I think that when you enter this debate, it is important to stress out the fact that we believe that although engagement metrics or efficiency metrics are very important, it is very difficult to define such metric as as comparable metrics for a whole industry. Why? Because very often efficiency metrics are related to a given advertiser. So it's difficult to just have a standard global definition. As for audience, it is much more easy to answer the following question: who has seen what and when? This question is difficult, but it's much easier to answer than the question of the efficiency, because the definition of efficiency will differ a lot between two advertisers.
So quite often I would go to a conference and I would hear the IAB definition of viewability is rubbish. How can an ad be effective if it's only been viewed, if 50% of it has only been viewed for 1 second? And the thing about viewability is not to confuse it with effectiveness. So what we're saying, if an ad is viewable, is that there's an opportunity to see the ad. We're not saying it's effective. So effectiveness is something else entirely. So you would then need to know what the objective of the campaign is. You know, if it's to increase brand awareness, you would then do a brand study. But people seem to be hooked on this thing, you know. No wonder digital advertising is no good, because they count it as effective if half of it's seen for a second. And the really interesting thing about that is I think it's relatively easy to understand. There are some nuances when it comes to viewability that make it a little bit complicated, but I think that basic concept that actually viewability is an opportunity to see is relatively straightforward. So I do sometimes wonder if people are sort of misunderstanding that deliberately to sort of discredit digital.
On the one hand, advertisers obviously need to understand the quality of the experience that the consumer is having with their creative, because advertisers need to decide if the creative is working or if it needs to be changed. But another thing that we're using this data for is to negotiate payments. And at what point has the media vehicle done its job? So the way I often think about this is, it's the media vehicle's job to bring the horse to water, but it's the advertiser's job to make them drink. So if I'm a TV broadcaster and you run commercials on my network and the audience tunes out of the commercial, let's say we require a certain, you know, let's think about a digital context where a viewable ad is 50% of the pixels on screen for 2 seconds or more. So if the audience tunes out of the ad before an impression is made, that's bad for the advertiser, but does the media vehicle still deserve to get paid? And I think that that's kind of like a fulcrum point when we think about measurements. There's, when does the media vehicle get paid? And I'm going to say I'm bullishly pro-media vehicle. So when the media vehicle provides that audience, they should get paid. So when does the media vehicle get paid? And then how effective was the ad for the advertiser? And there are times when you have to make sure the media vehicle gets paid because they've done their job, even if the creative hasn't.
In the discussions around new forms of advertising, and particularly ad tech, three words tend to crop up, not always used in the right way, or even to mean precisely the same thing. Is there agreement about what we mean by targeting, by addressable, and by programmatic? Tess Alps gives a ThinkBot's perspective on the terminology used.
Obviously, the word targeting has been used forever to try and focus your messages to certain people in certain ways, and you've always been able to target by time of day or by channel when it comes to television. The newer words are, in my mind, are addressable and personalised. And I do think those are different. For addressability, I think we would see that as being something that is sent to a particular TV set, and therefore is not, and it's generally to a shared screen. Mm. So it's not personalised. You don't know that a single person is going to, but you're making a bet that that particular family who might shop at Tesco's more than they do at Sainsbury's, so you want to send them a different message because they're not customers of the other retailer. So that goes to that house because you know that home is, you know, whatever, Barclays Bank customer or not. Personalised is a very different kettle of fish, and that tends to be to a personal device. And I know not all desktops are personal, they're sometimes shared, but increasingly, obviously, tablets and mobile phones are personal devices. So to personalise a message is very different from an addressable message.
Nigel Wally of Decipher agrees that television has always been targeted.
So are the phrases addressable TV and targeted TV, or just addressable and targeted, interchangeable? There is implication in addressable that you have information on who you're addressing, where with targeted, the implication has always been that you can target very widely. You can target whole populations. There's always been a kind of a specificity between those two. Addressable TV is in a way a subset, I think, of targeting. And we old TV hands will probably describe TV as a targeted medium. It's always been targeted, but we've just used segments and groups and time of day methods for targeting. The addressable crowd brings data into the mix. So that probably is the distinction between the two. I most certainly wouldn't think they were interchangeable.
I think when I think of addressable, what I'm thinking about is a context where I can serve or provide an impression to an individual consumer. So I would argue that addressable is the opposite of broadcast.
On a related note, the word programmatic was being used at conferences arguably way before there was agreement on what it actually meant or what most of the audience understood it to mean. Are we now any clearer?
Programmatic as a word has got lots of connotations to it, but all it means is a computerized, automated way of doing something. So, and that seems very sensible. Why not automate processes if they can be made more efficient, less onerous to people? Unfortunately, what it now conveys to the market is something that's probably low quality, low demand, bottom feeding, online advertising opportunities that basically has only got value when it's bundled together with something else, something that you wouldn't buy as a standalone piece of media inventory, but you might buy it programmatically because you're not basically considering it in its own terms.
It's a dangerous phrase because I don't think everybody generally knows what they're talking about, but I don't think everybody has the same definition. I tend to think of programmatic as automated, very simple, right? You can step out of the media business and think about programmatic as a way to manage airline reservations, for example. It's just the automation or the programming of a function. Now, one of the things, programmatic and addressability go together, because when I want to distribute impressions one at a time to specific persons or devices with tags on them that tell me that the user of that device has a certain attribute, perhaps auto intender, the only way to do that is programmatically, right? I mean, the only way to do that is to have a user who of content who is about to be presented an impression. There needs to be a handshake where the engine that puts the ad in front of that user has to, in a millisecond, look at the information about the user, assess it, figure out who wants to buy the user based on that information, quickly sell that impression to that user. The only way you can do that is, quote-unquote, programmatically. So I guess I think of programmatic as a platform for executing addressability, which ought to employ targeting.
So, listening back to the interviews whilst I was editing this podcast together, I do think that we have clarity around what we mean by targeted, addressable, and programmatic. As ever, we just need to be careful that we use them correctly. To sum up what our expert told us, nearly all advertising tries to be targeted. Addressability is a very specific means of doing that, whilst programmatic is a means of automating the process. When it comes to cross-platform reach, it's clear to me that measurement is going to have to get more granular in order for us to truly understand the relative value of exposure across different platforms. Minute-level granularity just isn't enough. There's agreement about time-based measures as being the best definition of exposure, but not around the minimum levels needed to be effective. When it comes to measures of attention and engagement, I'd argue that these should be left to advertisers and their agencies to decide and implement. They may have a place in the planning and formulation of advertising, but they will never become an agreed part of industry trading currencies. Although the focus of this podcast has rightly been on advertising, it's also important to remember that a growing proportion of TV income does not come from advertising. At an extreme in the UK, advertising accounts for just 30% of UK television revenue, according to Ofcom. So, when people complain about how currencies should be measuring outcomes and not headcounting, remember that audience measurement serves a wide range of needs, including understanding content and viewers. It's not just about selling cars. We'll be back soon in the fourth part of our trilogy of special podcasts. Yes, you did hear that correctly, with a final edition focused specifically on mobile advertising. Tess mentioned the importance of understanding the difference between addressable advertising, sent to a set-top box or a television, and personalised advertising, which implies a specific person will see it. And as we'll discuss in the next podcast, it's in the world of mobile that arguably personalised advertising is the more viable proposition. In the meantime, thanks again to all the participants in this edition of the ASI Cast.